All right, welcome to this month's edition of Fraud Talk. I'm John Gill, Vice President of Education, and our guest today is Leah Lane. Leah is a Global Investigations Director for a large multinational company, and she's been working with large companies and organizations for more than 20 years doing all types of investigations, but she's had a lot of experience doing investigations that cross borders. And as any of you listening know, that anytime you cross a border during an investigation, that opens up a whole different can of worms. And so we're just going to talk to Leah today about some of her experiences. So Leah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with when you first get that allegation coming in, and you start looking at it, you discover, okay, well, this may involve one or more countries. Where do you start logistically in beginning that investigation?
Well, John, I'd like to say that it's completely like any other investigation, but it's not. You know, there is no single set of ground rules for conducting cross-border investigations. I wish there were. But you do start out initially like you would any investigation. You start out with your pre-investigation. But that pre-investigation is a little different because you need to address some very important issues. I will probably just give you kind of the top three. The top three are maybe restrictions on data gathering and collection. There are local laws in varying countries that have privacy data. They even have blocking laws that you need to be aware of from the very beginning of your investigation. That's before you gather any documents or collect any evidence. Another second one is legal privilege. You need to know before you begin your investigation, is the country that you're going to be investigating in, does legal privilege even work in that country, and how does it work? And the third one would probably be language and communication barriers, cultural differences. You need to know that from the very beginning of your investigation so that you can plan accordingly. Operational considerations are really important as well, and it really depends on the allegation that you have. Will you be able to brief your senior leadership in that country and gain assistance from them, or are you actually investigating your senior leadership in that country and you have to completely go external to your company for that assistance and that guidance?
In the planning process, how does it change it from just a normal, typical domestic investigation when you find out it's going to be international? What do you add to your fraud and examination or fraud investigation plan?
Your plan is going to be a little different for cross-border investigations. So in a typical investigation plan, you're going to list kind of your scope and some of the things that you want to gather related to that allegation. You need to make sure when you're writing your plan that you're taking into account what kind of documents are you seeking. Are they publicly available documents? Are they protected documents? Are you going to be able to interview your employees in the language that you're accustomed to? Are you going to have to seek legal counsel to get a translator? The evidence that you're going to gather that you put into your plan, you really need to consider evidence ownership versus evidence control. And what I mean by that is in today's technical world, more and more people are using PDAs or using smartphones for work, iPads for work and personal. And so if that information's on there, can you then look at that evidence and can then you bring it back to the U.S., or is it blocked by local law? So a lot of things when you're putting together your investigation plan, you're listing out your key witnesses. You also need to check, because at some point in time, you're going to travel to that country to perform that investigation, to actually do those interviews. And one thing a lot of people forget is make sure to check in that country whether there are any major holidays that are different from your home country. You know, you don't want to spend all the money and take your team into a country when all the people that you want to interview are on holiday, or if it's a major holiday season, a lot of people can take holiday. You want to make sure the bulk of the people that you want to. All of this, kind of the biggest thing also that you need to focus on for your investigative plan is who's going to lead the investigation. Is the person in your home country the same lead that's going to then travel and perform that investigation and be a lead on the ground? Oftentimes, there are two separate people. Maybe an attorney here in the United States is going to manage that investigation and lead that investigation, and they're going to send an investigator on the ground. You need to make sure that your investigator plan discusses or addresses the fact of who's going to lead it when you're on the ground and what kind of authority they're going to have on that ground. Another key thing that in the planning process you need to understand is confidentiality. Confidentiality means many different things in many different countries. So you need to address in your plan exactly who's going to be notified of the investigation, who's going to be updated, and who's not going to be notified as it relates to the investigation when you go in country.
Leah, what's been some of your experience about how to best go about gathering some of this information? Talking about how important it was, and you're absolutely right, to learn what the ground rules are wherever you're going as to the types of information, privileges involved, legal rules and regulations. And I know this varies according to the size of the organization, but just taking your organization as an example, do you have people internally that you can go to for this information, or do you typically have to find somebody on the outside to help you with the laws or regulations in a particular area?
Each investigation is going to be unique, but in my experience with my organization, we have about half and half. So basically, I'll have someone in my company I can go to, probably in my legal department, that I'm going to go to at the very beginning of my investigation and say, hey, I have an investigation that's going to be in this country. This is the allegation, and this is what I want to do related to that allegation. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions like, am I going to be able to collect these documents? Am I going to be able to do a forensic examination of their laptop? Is that allowable under local employment law? Am I going to be able to interview them? Can I compel them to be interviewed? Are they allowed by local law to have a witness in their interview? Are they a union employee? These kinds of things. And my attorneys mostly are in the United States. And what we're going to do is we're going to retain counsel in the country that we're going into to assist us with those and help us navigate the employment laws and the privacy laws of that specific country. Because I really think, and this is one of my biggest tips to give someone who's working a cross-border investigation, is that to protect yourself and your company, you really need the knowledge of someone who is local to that country for employment laws, privacy laws, and to navigate the culture there.
Well, and as a lawyer, I will, strongly second that. And if you're working with management, sometimes it can be expensive, but it's much easier to do it right at the beginning than face litigation later on. And it's amazing how rules can be so different in different countries. Just just gathering information about someone over the internet can sometimes, in some countries, be a violation.
Oh, absolutely, and people have to know that violations of applicable data protection and privacy data laws may result in the imposition of criminal sanctions. I mean, we've seen in China where an investigator was arrested for illegally obtaining personal information of a Chinese citizen. Now, he didn't personally obtain that information. He hired an agency that then supplied that information. Just like if we were doing a background check and I hire someone to do a background check on a company, I'm relying on them to do that legally. But they're going to give me that information, and again, I'm hoping that they gather that legally and I pay them. If they did not, then I am still partially responsible for that information because I purchased it. So you have to be extremely careful about what you request, you know, for people that you hire in country.
Besides the laws, the other major issue in dealing with international investigations are is the culture of the particular area. And again, that differs dramatically around the globe. So what are some of the things that you're thinking about during the investigation in trying to adapt to the culture in that area?
Yeah, cultural sensitivities are a major factor when you're working with people from other countries. What may be acceptable to say or do in one culture could be extremely offensive in another culture, and you need to know culturally what's best for your investigators on the ground to help them. And when I say that, I mean if you're going in to interview, you need to know culturally what's going to assist you in that interview. And it may be bringing up loyalty to the company, because some cultures value loyalty. It may be obligations. Some cultures will value that obligation trigger, but you need to know what you can say, how to introduce yourself. You need to make sure that the person sitting opposite of you, when you call yourself an investigator, they don't mistakenly believe you're a law enforcement. So you have to really understand the words that you're using if you're speaking English and English is not their first language.
Where do you find the best place to obtain that information is? Do you usually talk to the people like in the division there locally first?
I actually go to a couple of different sources for that. So, you know, I'm actually going to, before I start my interview, sit down with my legal counsel in country and ask them, you know, what am I allowed by law to do? Am I allowed to, you know, make an allegation directly to them? Am I allowed to, you know, talk to them one-on-one? Is a witness requested? What culturally is going to help me? And then I'm also going to reach out to my HR partner in that country and ask for what kind of tips can they give me related to the culture. What will work in putting that person at ease and comfort so that they're able to just sit down and talk with me and tell me what I want to know? So a couple of different sources. If I have the way my organization is set up, we have a worldwide security department that's in most countries where we do business. And I'm probably going to also go to that security officer in that country and ask them about the culture as well. So I go to a couple of different sources, and I think it's important that you go to more than one source and to get that information, because everybody has different views.
And speaking of lessons that you learn sometimes the hard way, what are some of the things that you've learned over the years that you'd like to share with people as to you know, what to consider and what to do when you've got a potential cross-border investigation?
Those lessons are hard learned sometimes. And this might go for all investigations, but especially important in cross-borders is understanding your allegations from the beginning. And understand that when you go in country and start speaking to people and asking them about this one allegation you're looking into, other information is going to come out. One of the second lessons that's hard learned is evidence collection. With the privacy laws and data protection laws, once with technology today, in case enterprise and things like that, it's absolutely technically available for you to grab information from another country while sitting in your home country. Technically, I can have my IT people pull documents from a computer that's across the world. But is it legal? So one of the hardest lessons I've learned is, and what everybody wants to do is immediately upon getting that allegation is start gathering documents. Hold off until you speak to legal and find out if gathering documents and then transferring them cross-border is allowed. Because you might be allowed to gather those documents in country, but because of blocking laws, you might not be able to transfer them back for any judicial hearings here. So that's one of the things that's very important to understand is make sure before you start gathering any documents that you've received advice from legal counsel who's knowledgeable about the local laws in that country.
That's a really good point. You're exactly right. It comes as a surprise to a lot of people that when you transfer data across borders, that can trigger sanctions. And so you do need to have some counsel advising you as you go along. And just because you can gather at one place, if you remove it back to the United States, that could trigger some problems. So that's an excellent point. Well, that's great advice, and we appreciate your taking the time to talk about this. And let me see if I can just kind of sum up some of the major points. First is, if you've got a potential cross-border investigation, get with legal counsel. It could be here and in the area where you're going, just to make sure that you understand what you can and can't do and what the rules are. So the first thing is legal counsel, good legal advice. Second is figure the culture out. Do some research, talk to people so that you know if you get there, you can be most effective and get what you need by following the rules and customs of wherever you're at. And then the third thing is planning. It's organization beforehand and then revising it and continue once you get in country, and just make sure that you're staying on top of everything and as things change that you know what's going on. So you think that's a fair assessment?
I do. I would only add one thing to that, and it's the be extremely careful of requesting information. Make sure you're legally entitled to that information before you request it, because people want to help you. And if you ask for something, they'll want to get it for you, whether it's legally or not. And so just be very careful what you request. Make sure you're legally entitled to that information.
That's great. Well, Leah, thank you again for taking time to share with our listeners your experiences, and that's been very interesting. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to this month's Fraud Talk. You can find a list of all of our podcasts on our website at acfe.com/podcast.